Okay, this morning I want to share with you things that God continues to challenge me, and God continuously working in my life at this point. As I shared the last time, we talked about being one with the Lord, and in order to be one with the Lord, we said we had to identify with who He is, identify with Christ, and that we had to build a consciousness of His presence in our lives and to really renew our minds so that our thoughts and our ways will be God's ways rather than men's ways. And so maybe just before as I start, Jorg, if I can get you to put this, probably the second last or third last slide, I just want to verbalize this first before I go into it, and then... So it says, no Christ, no life. Yeah. The one before?
Yeah.
I just want to verbalize this because I think God has been challenging me a lot in this area of my life. And so I'll just verbalize it first. So number one, no Christ, there's no life. No cross, there's no throne. No call, no assignment. No course, no destiny. No cost, no glory, no covenant, no unity, no collaboration, and no fulfillment. And I think it's quite clear, but I'll just quickly go through. Is no Christ, there's no life. There's no life apart from Christ. If there's no cross, there's no throne, because the cross leads us to the throne. The call gives us our assignment, our purpose. The course is the pathway, the where we choose to go, the pathway that we take, right? The pathway, because that pathway or the predetermined pathway of God in His foreknowledge leads us to our destiny. No cost, no glory, no covenant, no unity, no collaboration. If we don't collaborate with God and if we don't work with one another, we can't fulfill what God has ordained before the foundation of the earth. And so these thoughts have been challenging me in many ways, and I realize that if I want to walk, if I want to be one with the Lord, I have to walk that pathway. And that has to be my line of that has to be my life. Christ has to be my life, the one that I draw all from. So the title is One with Christ, Life in Christ. Before I start this morning, I just want to share with you one of the things that God began to show me. I recently learned how to make a Rubik's cube. You know, everybody know what a Rubik's cube is? I'll just quickly show you what that is. All right, so have you seen one of those before? Yeah, okay. So it's like it's a puzzle that you just twist around, and the result is that you should have every side has to be fully colored by the same color, which you will see in the last slide, which... But my friend or at work, my colleague brought it at work, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I mean, I've seen it before, and I never knew how to solve it. And so I said, if I could get one side and forget about the other sides, if I can just get one color on one side, and even though the other ones are all messed up, I'd be pretty happy. I'd be like rejoicing, like, you know, because I never thought I could ever do even one side. So he began to show me how it works. All right, and so... And this is the interesting thing as I learned this, and that really helped me to really understand to really reinforce other things about Christ. But as you see here, when you start to fix the puzzle, if you see the next slide here, see at the top here, you got to start with a cross. That's the first thing that you have to start with. You get your cross. Once you get the cross, right, you're following hopefully, right? So hopefully the images are helpful. So you build a cross like this, right? And then the next one. Then what you do then is you work the corners, then you have the full surface is white. Then what happens with this is you turn it upside down, that becomes the bottom, that becomes your foundation, and then now you can work on the rest of the cube. But that becomes foundational to working out the rest of the cube. And so the next part of this now, once you've solved the foundation, you put it down the bottom, you start to work on the structure. And so the next step here is like building walls all around. And as you build the walls, right, now you get there, then you once you've reached this stage, you're going to go another stage. Now you look at the I call it the roof. So the bottom is white, now the top is yellow. So what you got to do with the yellow is you're going to get another cross at the top. which is this one here. So you got to work out this cross. Once you get the cross at the top, you work the whole surface at the top, it becomes fully yellow. Ta-da. Yeah, this one. Okay. All right, so once you get that, you can now work the rest of the cube. And once you work the rest of your cube, you get, that's the real ta-da. Ta-da. All right. And when I saw this, when I learned about this, and I thought, wow, this is how you solve even the cube. Now, if I even told you how I even got myself a cube, it's another story, but I won't say it now. And so when I learned how to do this, I thought, wow, this is so profound. You know, I mean, like, you know, for a cube, just to think, it's a game, it's a puzzle, and even the puzzle, like, speaks to you. And, you know, I find that, you know, it's essential to, so what I found is, like, in like manner, like this little cube, that like this puzzle, it started to speak to me, because I say, if I want to build my life, if I want to be in Christ, then my foundation must be built on the cross, on Christ. And only once I have this foundation, then I can talk about the walls. You know, if we started building all the other colors, and then to get the white, it's not going to work out. You know, you can't work. It's got patterns. And the other thing that it spoke to me is, in order to move these things, there are certain ways that you move the cube to get it where you need it to be. So they call it patterns. Okay, patterns. And I thought, wow, the cube has foundation, and it has patterns. And so our life has got to have a foundation, and there are patterns from heaven that we need to identify, we need to know from the Lord. There are ways. And the thing is, as I spin the whole thing and I try to get the cube, I don't know why exactly if I move it this way that's going to get out there, but I learned the patterns first, and then I know how to solve it. But as I learned the patterns and I get the hang of how it moves, now I know that if I do this certain move, I can see why that is moving into place. I start to understand the pattern. But when the first time, I just learn it for the sake of, okay, turn that, and you get this. I'm like, yeah, that's great, but I don't get it. But not that I fully get it, but now I can actually understand, oh, when you move this, it falls into place. It makes sense. I can read it. I can understand it. There are patterns in heaven. Sometimes we don't understand it, but we got built according to God's pattern, and God will just unfold it as we do, as we spend more time into it, just God will begin to open up. And so this morning, as I talk about Christ, Christ's life in Christ, to be one with Christ, my life and our lives must be built upon Christ. Christ. Second last slide. This is where we'll go now this morning. And the thing is because sometimes, okay, when we come together as a church, what brings us together? It is Christ. Is that right? We are brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Not because we are necessarily related by blood, but Christ is the one that brings us together. And so our whole fellowship and the way we interact and the way we work together is because Christ puts us together and Christ unites us. But if we take Christ out of the picture, we're no different from any organization, no different from anything. That's why it's essential that if we live our lives, we must have Christ, because the moment some have, you know, some are in Christ and some are, you know, not thinking along the lines of what God is saying. And so what you will have is you will have clashes. So people can't understand why you do things this way and why you say this and why you stand for this and why you make those certain decisions, even though it sounds crazy. But as long as we put Christ in the picture, that's what we need. All right, but we take out Christ out, then that's where we got a lot of conflict, a lot of strife, a lot of contention. And that's what we find as we're reading the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I've heard there's a lot of contentions. I heard it from the household of Chloe. There's this division among you. What, did Paul, was Paul crucified for you? Are you baptized in the name of Paul? Are you of Paul? Are you of Apollos? Is Christ divided? Do you know what I'm talking about from 1 Corinthians? Because why? We are building things around man or around other things. And then when we talk about Christ, it becomes difficult. There's contentions, there's strife, there's division. So I want to read John 15, chapter 15, verse 5 this morning. As our opening scripture, and I've got just 3 points under Christ. Life must be built on Christ, because without Christ, there's no life. In John chapter 15, verse 5, this is what it says to us. I am the vine, so this is Jesus, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Without Christ, we can do absolutely nothing. That's the reason why, as a church, even as we've, I'm sure in the live groups, you've been looking at the measurement of the church. If the first point was what? The influence or the size of God in our church. The essential thing is that Christ is the centrality of what brings us together, of our worship, of the message, of our preaching, of our prayer, and everything leads to Christ, because that's the reason, that's what we're here for, Christ. So no Christ, no life. If Jesus didn't come into my life and didn't set me free, I'd have no life, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So no Christ, I got no life. Number one, so Christ, the centrality of Christ in our meeting. So Christ must be the centrality of all that I do. Our church meetings, our prayer meetings, our live groups, our fellowship, everything that we come together, the outreaches, the things that we do must be Christ-centered. The centrality of all things must be Christ. Colossians chapter 1. And if we want to be one with the Lord, then we have to have this. Well, I have to have this. I know for myself that Christ must be the centrality. Because if I do anything, if I try to do anything that's without Christ in it, then it's dead works. Is that right? Dead works. But as long as I'm in Christ and thinking along what God is saying and sticking with what, and abiding in Him, abiding in His Word, abiding in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, and building myself strong and doing what I hear the Lord speaking and through our leaders and through what the Lord speaks in various aspects of life, then I must stick with that. Because otherwise, without Christ, there's no life. Without Him, I can do nothing. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. He may be the best. He must be the top. He must be the most essential one in our lives. Amen? Can I get an amen with that? Christ is the preeminent one. He's the head of the church. He must be the centrality of all that we do. And you know, this is something that I'm learning but I find it more clear is that when I say in our meetings, I mean even in everything that we do, right, in our lives, you realize something, that God who created all things, right, God who upholds all things by the word of His power, He made all things. Is that right? Do we all agree? God created the heavens and the earth, right? So He made all things, and the thing is, the more I learn about even the natural things that God has, like what we see and we can touch, as far as God's creation, you start to see that even those things speaks of the invisible attributes of God. You know, I mean, just like, even like, you know, I was spending some time with Keith. Now, Keith, if he takes you a tour around Darling Downs and all the trees, with much pride and love, he would, let's go around, let's go for a big tour. And And so recently I went with him and we walked around and we're looking literally going tree by tree and looking at everything. And then we were looking and we saw some of those trees that have been planted, and so he started to see little fruits coming out. They were really tiny, but there's like, oh, it's fruiting. He's like, and the excitement on his face was like a little child was like, oh, it's got fruit. It's so tiny. It's so small. It's like maybe three. And he's like, oh, it's got fruit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look at this. And this one too. Wow. Whoa. It's like, and then we came across another one and he said, oh, this one's not bearing any fruit. Oh, this one's not so good. Oh, in Jesus' name, be fruitful in Jesus' name. And then he moves on to the next tree, and he goes to the next tree, and he goes like, oh, and this one too. Oh, wow, these are the older trees, and these are the younger ones. This one just came, and these one. And I looked at him, and I thought, wow. He was so passionate about it. And I thought, you know, wouldn't God be so passionate when our lives bear fruits? And when we don't bear fruits, He does not reject us, though He prunes us, but He is like, I don't know, in Jesus' name, He will be like, in Jesus' name, bear fruit, right? And so I begin to see that, and I'm like, why is it that when we like, so like, I don't know, some of you, we love children so much, right? And I realize, like, sometimes you have this affection for the child. You kind of think, if we know how to love a child or baby or whatever, if we know how to love this, how much more your Heavenly Father? That sort of speaks to me, you know. It's like, if you ask God, if you ask your, even your evil father can bless you with bread and whatnot, and if you ask for bread, he will not give you, you know, all that, or fish will not give you a scorpion and all that. But how much more if you ask your Father in heaven? So that those kind of things, like, start to speak to me. I mean, the Rubik's Cube. You think about a Rubik's Cube, you know, things like that. And there's so many other aspects, like you talk about frequency. Anyway, let's not get into that. But what I'm trying to say is that all things speaks of Christ. It speaks of His creation. And there are messages that are just continuously. So when we talk about all things revealing Christ, you start to see that God is constantly speaking in various ways. But sometimes we're not sensitive as to what God is saying and how God is speaking to us. But the centrality must remain Christ. The centrality of all that we do, all things were created by Him. All things were made by Him and for Him. And so as we start to pick this line up, I realize that, wow, everything is about Him. You know, even the creation, the things that we try to understand, like we try to understand like how radio works. That's like you'd say to me, well, that's man-made, isn't it? But yet by understanding what man makes, we understand the dynamics of things of God and how God works in the Spirit in the same way. It's amazing. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. This is frequency, right? And we're not talking about this this morning, but I'm just trying to say is that by just learning, because scientists and people that are inventing are only discovering what God already made. They're only uncovering, they're only discovering this. They're not making anything new because God is creator of all things, but they discover things of God. And so everything is about Christ. When we come to the church, for example, when we talk about, when pastors are talking about prayer, so maybe we might think, well, oh, this is not Christ-centered. It's always about speaking in tongues. But it is Christ-centered. It's because Christ, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, leads us to Christ. The Holy Spirit who has been sent by God, Jesus who is seated at the right hand, sends us the Holy Spirit so that we can commune with Christ. That's why it's essential. Like, so we hear messages. You know, sometimes we think, oh, it's not Christ-centered. It is. We are speaking of Christ. We are speaking because Jesus said, I came to give you life and life abundantly. Is that right? So life is every aspect. Everything comes together in the light of Christ. So the centrality in all that we do must be in Christ. I know we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians through soap, but let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just the first few verses. And this is what, remember I quoted that earlier. Okay. In verse 11, 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 1, verse 11, 4. It has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except for Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I have baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. What is the centrality? Is the centrality anything? Sometimes our centrality is money. Sometimes our centrality is our job, our security, you know, certain relationships, okay? These things come in our way. Are we of Apollos? Are we of Paul? I don't like this teaching. I like this teaching. I don't like this one. I'm following this preacher and I'm following that preacher. And so we are divided and confused. But in all of that, money didn't die for me that I might have life, but Christ died for me that I might have life. So not only is the centrality of Christ in our lives, in our meetings, but the revealing, number two, of Christ in our lives. The revealing of Christ in our lives. One of the things that God has been challenging me a lot is we have a lot of input. We receive a lot of words. We receive a lot of input, a lot of teachings, a lot of impartation. But the challenge for me is that, can I take what I hear and make it part of my life and internalize it, make it a reality? Can Christ, rather than hearing messages about Christ that this is what I should do, but God is challenging me, can I make this inside of me? You know, oftentimes we say, you know, we can say this, you know, the world, my job is not my source. God is my source. Right? But can I really say that? We can say it when we quote it when we're not in the situation. But if you're brought into a place like this, can we really make that decision that my source is nothing else but Christ? Okay, this is a challenge for me. God has been challenging me in many aspects. Revealing of Christ in my own life. Can I really, what I say, what I preach, what I share, can that really be seen and displayed in my own life? Because how can I tell people if this is not really part of my life? If this is not what I truly believe? If I only believe it in my mind, then I'm just saying it because it's just the right thing of saying. And it's not that I shouldn't say if I believe it's the right thing. But another step further is what I am saying, can I stand for it and can I live for it and can I make a stand for it and make a decision? So God has been challenging me. Let Christ be revealed inside of me. Let Christ be formed in the inside of me. Rather than focusing on every other external aspects of life, we need to spend time to ask the Lord to let me have the Christ life, because this is what you died for, to give me life and life abundantly. It wasn't just for me to go to heaven so I can have my own ways and my own life to all myself. Because the world is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Is that right? And so these sons must be shaped. These sons must go through a process and they must be revealed. The scriptures in Acts says, in Him I move, I live and have my being. In Christ. In Him. But what do we mean by in Him we do all these things? To me it means this, is that if Christ says this and this and this and He reveals it unto us and this is the Word of God, then I have to align myself with Christ. That's being in Him. My life being found in Christ I'm abiding in Him. I'm trusting Him. I'm not trusting the world. And so whatever that God speaks to me and reveals to me, as long as I walk in that, His preceding word that He's telling me and is speaking to me, if I walk in that, I'm walking closely with Jesus. But if I hear it and I ignore it and I put it aside and I don't care about it, then I'm going out of Christ. I'm not staying with what Christ is saying. So that's why there's a lot to do with the renewing of our mind and really identifying our lives with Christ. But our lives must be completely revealing Jesus. Let me touch on the last one. The love of Christ in our relationships. So remember, we're talking about being one with the Lord, but if you want to be one with the Lord, Christ must be the centrality. Christ must be revealed in us, and the love of Christ must be in all of our relationships. Now, how many of you know when we are hurt, it's difficult? You go through a difficult time, you know, you find it difficult when there are awkward moments, there are awkward feelings, there are confused emotions, there are confused, you're confused, everyone's confused. But in the midst of that, can I see everything in how Christ would see things? Or do I say, well, I have the right to feel that way because that's how I feel inside? Or because of certain circumstances, well, you know what? I didn't do anything wrong. They are wrong anyway. So why should I do anything? Can I see things, you know, that are, can I see things, everything in the light of Christ? I recently was speaking to a particular person, and this particular person stopped going to church. And I asked this person, so why are you not going to church? And said, well, you know, many things happen. I got bitter and, you know, things happen and got hurt. And so I stopped going to church. But it doesn't mean that I still have faith in God. My faith has not failed me at all. It's just that I don't go to church because things happen. And, you know, the person said to me, well, you know, I say to God, I'm sorry I don't love your people. But if you want me to love your people, then help me to love your people. And so I said to this person, well, you know, the church is like a family. You know, a family, you have brothers and sisters and parents. And in a family, if you have a normal family, you will have some, fights, arguments, you know, you open a packet of biscuits and you're all supposed to have two each, and then one took three, and then you took mine. And then next time is revenge, so he doesn't take an extra one. He takes two extra ones. He's like, how come you took extra one? Well, last time you took an extra one, so it's my right. So does that happen at your home? I don't know. Anyway, so I said to this person, I said, you know, the church is like, it's a family. You have brothers and sisters, and, you know, we're all working out our lives, and, you know, we're all working out our salvation, so we will have things happen. And because of that, do you go at home, like with your natural siblings, do you say, well, you're no longer my brother, I'm not going to talk to you? We can fight, but somehow we still talk. We'll still come back and, you know, unless you really, it's a really messed up family anyway. But generally speaking, right, you'll still find a way because it's your brother or it's your mom, it's your dad, it's, you know, but what I'm saying here is that sometimes we think, oh, you know, even things happen in church. You know, sometimes we might offend someone, not on purpose, but the person gets offended because, I don't know, you know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes people don't offend on purpose, but it just happens, right? Because we have certain different culture, different, you know, views, different things, and maybe some people are ignorant, whatever, right? But I want to read that final scripture, and I want to conclude with that. Because everything that we do, if Christ is not in it, you can talk and talk and talk. In fact, when you know that someone does not think along what God says, you won't want to even try. No, I won't say won't try, but you won't even want to even attempt because you know the person will not get it. And it's difficult, right? But Christ must be in everything that we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, and I conclude with this one. Let's read from verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This verse 2 is what I want to emphasize. It's for I determined to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, when you're hurt, you're not. If someone offends you or try to provoke you from someone who is not close to you, offends you, you're like, whatever, right? Forget about him. I don't even know this guy anyway. But it's when someone is very near and close to you, when something happens, that's the most difficult one to get over with because of close relationship, right? Right? And so, but in the midst of all of that, I can choose to allow circumstances and how people have said certain things and how people have said things. Maybe sometimes they say things, they don't even mean it. They say it out of frustration. But in the midst of that, can I see everything in the light of what Christ or how Christ sees? Can I come and before these people and say, I determine to know nothing, anything except Christ and Him crucified, without any prejudice, without any preconceived ideas, or without anything because of what this happens and because of what they say? Can I put that aside and lay that aside and say, I decide or I determine and I purpose in my heart to know nothing else except Jesus Christ and Him crucified? That's been a challenge for me in many ways. And I felt a release this morning when we were worshiping. So let me conclude by rereading the first points that I read to you. We only talked about Christ, but if we have no Christ, we have no life. If we have no cross, there's no throne. The cross will lead us to the throne. No call, no assignment. No course, no destiny, no cost, no glory, no covenant, no unity, no collaboration, there's no fulfillment. I'm encouraged by Auntie Ong's testimony. I think that's a very good example of what it means. I purpose to know nothing else except Jesus Christ crucified, because the Bible, the scriptures says this: I was offended, and so the Bible says, I forgive. So she went forward and obeyed that. Auntie Ong, I believe, could have chosen to say, well, I'm bitter. She could have said this: he's a pastor, he should know better. Right? But she went forward. She could say, well, I have the right to be offended. Isn't it obvious that everyone's getting a prayer request and I'm not getting a prayer request? Isn't it obvious? So we could say all of this, but Scripture spoke to her, and it's a good testimony. I really love that. And she Scripture says this, Scripture say this, and so, it's so simple. It's so like it's really. but the thing is, we want to remain in Christ. We want to abide in His Word. Then, if He speaks to us, we have to take action in what He says. Because if we don't, then we put ourselves into a place, as I know I'm not talking about this morning, but we allow the enemy to make a legal case against us because we allow something to linger in our lives. So if we want to stay in Christ, because in Christ, Pastor Joseph has been saying, the protection for our lives is to be in Christ and to be in the will. Was it in the will of in Christ and in the church and to be in the center of God's will? But to be in Christ, what do we mean? I think it's a big topic, and I don't think I'm talking about this morning, but I think as an aspect of it is that if God says to us, and if we don't stay with that, we take ourselves out of the Word, we take ourselves out of the covering, and we open ourselves for trouble. That's why we make ourselves vulnerable Because we're not staying in Christ. We're not staying with His Word. Abide with His Word. Abide with His Word. So the centrality of all that we do, it's Christ. If we came here this morning not because of Christ, then question ourselves. If we're worshiping and it wasn't about Jesus, then let's ask ourselves. If we're trying to find common grounds without Christ and, you know, things like that. You know, sometimes we just got to readjust ourselves. Sometimes, you know, this message is the most simple message that I think, you know, sometimes I think people, they already know this. You know, everyone knows Christ is the preeminent. Everyone knows Christ is the centrality. Everyone knows God is the most important reason why we're here. But the thing is, the way we behave sometimes doesn't show that, because we are more conscious about everything else. We are more conscious about things that are happening and having fun or having this and having that. And we forget the really important things of what we came here for. Sometimes we can be in worship and we get lost into the music. And so we forgot that the reason why we're singing was because we are worshiping Jesus. And so we get caught up into, oh, it's a nice song. It's a good thing. And oh, what a good drum roll you did just then. And that guitar, wow, strum was beautiful. And that voice, that high F sharp you sang, wow. Okay? So, you know, we have to be real with ourselves. I think we have to be very real, because maybe you don't do that, but you do it in a different way. We do it in a different ways, okay? So we have to really ask God. So I believe that God this morning will set us free, because sometimes we have allowed things, you know, other things to come in, but this morning, Christ is the center. And sometimes, maybe some of you might feel, well, I'm all alone in this. I'm all alone in this. You are not alone. I'm reminded this morning of sometime after worship or after communion, a prophetic word or a word that was given by Pastor Joseph, and he said this: God, who is on the throne, remembers His own. All right? So this morning, there are some here this morning that think, you know, I'm on my own. I can't do this. It's too difficult. But God, who is on the throne, remembers His own. He remembers us. And if we would put Him at the center of our lives, put Christ as the centrality, Christ to be forming the inside of us, the love of Christ to be demonstrated in our lives, God is going to just set us free this morning. I believe that there was a divine release this morning. There's a divine freedom in this, in the spirit.